Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. And I know why you're here. I know one of the reasons why you're here at this very moment. And that's because Joan Pride is back. I know you've missed her. And as she has missed us, I can promise you. But she's back. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Jim.
You're all on Twitter, aren't you?
It took a lot of begging to get back on the show, so I'm glad I'm back.
Well, we missed you, Joan. Did you miss us?
Desperately.
Yeah, I know.
Desperately.
It's good to have you back. Hey, Joan, before
Thank
we
you.
Get into the letter, we just need to report quickly on what everybody already knows, and that is, but just to talk about it for a minute or so about what happened in the what were they calling last Tuesday? Not a Super Tuesday, but Super Tuesday 2 or something like that.
Oh, I've heard Crucial Tuesday. I've heard a lot of different monikers for that. Yeah, but it was
pretty
crucial.
But there were four primaries: Vermont, Rhode Island, Texas, and Ohio.
Yes.
And the word was beforehand that if Hillary didn't at least win the two big ones, that basically she was history.
Well, the word beforehand, I thought, was if she didn't win the two big ones by a comfortable, substantial margin, she was history.
Yeah.
And I think that was true in Ohio. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the papers
51-48 or 9 or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would call that comfortable in Texas.
Well, it's comfortable in terms that, uh-huh. that she it was in terms that any win is comfortable, but it wasn't a thrashing like the 10 points she won in Ohio. And
right.
But here's I think something that's interesting to me about I really think it's appropriate to parse the wins that Obama's gotten and the wins that Hillary's gotten. I mean, she won New York, she won California. Those are big states that you need. Those are red. Those are
blue
states.
Right.
Blue states that she needs to get. She won Ohio, and Ohio is kind of a red state sometimes, and sometimes it's a blue state.
Right,
right. Right. I mean,
definitely a swing state. Yeah.
And yeah, it's a huge. Well, it may be the penultimate swing state because they've been saying for a long time, as Ohio goes, so goes the election.
That's right. That's
so
true,
that's a
yeah.
big deal. And she beat yeah. Obama 10 points in Ohio. So I think that's some. If I were her crowd, her advisors, I'd be shouting that from the rooftops.
That's right.
And so she also won Rhode Island. She didn't win Vermont, which
right.
the
she was expected to win Rhode Island and to lose Vermont, and she
right,
did.
The People's Republic of Vermont. And,
right,
and,
right, exactly.
Just teasing, folks. But anyway. It's an interesting thing, Joan. If I say this to you earlier in the year, but I sure said this. I said this is going to be the year that we live the Chinese curse, which is may you live in interesting times.
Oh, for a journalist, it's heaven. It's wonderful.
Well, yeah,
But
I mean, think, Joan. I can't remember a time in my life. Maybe 68 was the closest. I can't remember a time in my life when the politics has been so rich as it is right now.
I totally agree with you. That's right. That's right.
And think about what could happen here. I mean, this thing could go either way. This is like a an extra innings ball game. The next hits could the next swing of the bat could make things go one way or the other. What if this thing went all the way down to the convention, Joan? How exciting would that be?
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine. But the most exciting thing to me, looking at all of these primaries, is turnout. That was one of the things that Americans
yep.
have been faulted for, is they don't bother to vote. But we've had record turnout, and these are just primaries. This is not the general election. People have been standing in line. They've been running out of ballots. I guess it says something, unfortunately, about the machinery of our voting. It's not up to par. But the fact that people are excited about this election and want to get out and cast their vote is really important.
Was it you that told me about the American Idol analogy. Would you tell me that? Maybe
no,
somebody else.
No, tell me.
Somebody else told me this week that you know, before you get too excited about the fact that 43 million Americans voted in the primaries and how record that is, just remember 54 million people voted for American Idol.
Wow.
So
yeah, but how did they vote?
Well, I don't.
They sat home and pushed a button.
Well, that's true.
You know, if you make voting easier, I think you could get 54 million people voting.
Well, is there any doubt in your mind that Hillary is a fighter?
Oh gosh, absolutely.
Regardless
no
of
doubt.
Whether you agree with her politics or not, she is irrepressible, isn't she?
It's true.
It's amazing.
Very true.
And so now here's what I'm predicting, Joan. I'm predicting that the media is going to end their love affair with Obama, and they're going to start scrutinizing him a little bit because he's now been proven to, you know, the omentum, as they called it, has sort of slowed down. I think I'm going to predict that it's going to become even more interesting than it has been.
Wow.
Because I think once the love affair is over with Obama and they start giving, you know, a little bit more scrutiny to him, they finally found some things that maybe they can scrutinize him for. I'm more convinced now that this is going to the convention than ever before.
Well, I don't know how you stop it from going to the convention, because if you look at Pennsylvania as being similar to Ohio,
yep, especially
I'm not
if
sure.
She wins Pennsylvania.
I don't know how she loses Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
When is that? Pardon me? What is what?
When is that? April?
When is that? April 4th, yeah. I think.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a long time till Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to come down to a fight over superdelegates.
Yeah. And I'm going to make one more prediction, folks, and I've said this, I think, on the air. I believe that the Clinton machine, they know this is their last hurrah, right? This is the last stand for them. This is the Alamo for them, right?
Right.
And so I believe that they will, if they have to, now remember this, folks, they're capable of doing something so outrageous, so burning all bridges outrageous, that it will either work for them or it will implode on them, one or the other. It'll go one with it. But look for that. There will be a moment when you'll say, wow, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well,
we've
seen it before, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true.
And you know what the truth is? It's worked for them.
Well, it has, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, folks. This is, if you like politics, this is as good as it gets, isn't it, John?
Boy, I'll say.
Yeah. And especially if you're a journalist, you know, a real professional journalist like Joan Pride is, then you're really having a good time. 10:20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. When we come back, we're going to talk about the economy. What does Kiplinger say about the economy? Really good stuff right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back, 23 After. That's the Who. Little Daltrey and the other guys there. Welcome back, 23 After. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the economy, according to you guys, according to Kiplinger, is going to turn down, but you feel that the downturn will be short. What's the rest of the story?
Well, that's the good news. Do you want me to go into the bad news now?
Yes.
We're saying recovery will take much longer. And we say ill effects will linger till at least 2010. Now, if I remember correctly, we're only in 2008 right now, right?
Yeah. Well, let's dissect that a little bit. The big problem we got right now is, as you know, Joan, is the housing industry. That's one of the big uglies right now is the housing industry. And I do think that one, especially in some areas like where you are right now in Washington, D.C., which is an artificial economy.
That's true.
That where you are, I think, you know, the recovery for the real estate market, D.C. and Florida and California, parts of California, Las Vegas, places like that, those kinds of housing markets, I think, could take to low nine. I think maybe the housing will be one of the last ones to recover. But that's a big sector too, isn't it?
Oh sure, and as we've always said, has so many reverberations.
And so many little tributaries that
right.
that serve it.
Right.
You know, furniture, appraisal, fixing up, you know, the repair folks, the remodeling folks, and all the stuff that they're going in, are involved in buying a house and selling a house, all those different aspects of it will take a little longer. So that'll be a big, but I do think that in general, and I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be short. I think the recovery is going to take a little bit longer. But you know what, Joan? I actually don't think that's a bad thing. If we can just get this economy kind of turned the other way, just enough where we can quit talking about the negatives. You know what I mean? We need to have some good news. I really believe that if sometime later in the year, maybe third quarter, we start getting some good news. Maybe the oil prices come down or something happens. Well, we can start having positive talk instead of negative talk. We got a lot of negative talk right now, Joan.
Oh, that's true.
And I've been pointing out, Joan, that we're operating right now in two different economic universes. One of them is the real universe, where we have good things and bad things to counterbalance each other
right.
in the economy. And then the other universe is the one, the 6 inches between our ears, where we play out this recession, no recession thing in our head. And that's the one that if we spend too much time in that universe, Joan, that's bad news.
That's right.
So I'm hoping we can start getting some good news, but Joan, there is one thing that you guys are pointing out this time that is one of the things that is, as you call it, the wolf at the door. Tell the audience what it is.
Well, we're saying inflation is the wolf at the door, but I would say it could be even worse than that. I think it could be stagflation.
But see, Joan, you love that word. You say that.
I do because I grew up with it.
It's almost like you.
That was.
Joan, it's almost like you're wishing for stagflation.
That was the way life was. No,
so you can be right.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah, that's true.
Well, tell the audience what stagflation is.
Well, under normal circumstances, if you have inflation, that means you have a growing and possibly overheating economy. Whereas,
right.
if you have stagnation, prices are depressed. But back in the 70s, we had this crazy confluence where you had inflation plus rising interest rates plus a slowing economy, and it was sort of, it's very hard to get out of such a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you ended up doing it was the Federal Reserve under, I guess it was Paul Volcker at the time,
yes,
just
was.
Kept pounding away at interest rates and driving interest rates up to the point where it finally choked off inflation but just really messed up the economy at the same time.
It was really in the early 80s, Joan,
yeah.
when it got the worst, because what you had the economy was off. We had inflation in 01 and 03, back to back there, two different ones, with just a slight upturn in the middle. And you had interest rates were, you know, prime rate was like, what was it, like 19% or 21%
oh,
or something?
Oh, yeah.
Something ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was absurd.
Right.
And then you had inflation, and you had the economy that was off. So that's how you got the stagflation. Now, Joan, think about this. To your point, we are clearly seeing inflationary trends where the interest rates are going down to try to recover from that. If the economy does pick up a little bit, and you guys talk about this in your letter, you point out, don't you, that what tell the audience what you think the Fed will start doing when the economy picks up a little bit.
Well, when the economy starts to pick up a little bit, we think the Fed is going to reverse course and start raising interest rates again.
Which is
what we need, right?
Well, and hopefully to try to stem the inflation thing. But Joan, a lot of the inflation that we've got right now is because of oil, the high price of oil.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to point out, was a lot of our economic problems back in the 70s and 80s were kind of spawned by the oil crisis back then.
Right.
Now, of course, we also had a demand problem back then. You remember the long lines
mm-hmm.
and the alternate days when you could go to the gas station, things like that. We don't have that now, but we still have problems in that area.
Well, exactly. But one of the things is you know, we consume less petroleum per dollar of GDP today than we did 30 years ago, and that's really helping us out right now. The efficiency of the market with regard to petroleum has really improved, and that's helping us out right now. Quick break, right back with more to come after these messages with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blessing.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, one of the things that, you know, as you know, there are two kinds of inflation indicators. One is the core inflation, which does not include energy and food, which is kind of a silly indicator because food and energy is where the a lot of the inflation is right now.
Then that's
there's
true.
Then there's the other indicator, and I've forgotten what the, what it's called, but it includes energy and food.
Right.
But we got petroleum closing above $105. Not closing, but it's reaching over $105.
Yep. Setting records every day.
And Joan, so much of that is on speculation because of the challenges in the Middle East. We got Chavez putting tanks on the Colombian border. Good for President Bush for defending the democracy of Colombia down there against Chavez. You know, there's something wrong with the system, Joan, where every time a cretin like Chavez can rattle a saber, and that gets the speculators excited, and it makes our oil prices go up, which puts more money in his pocket. There's something wrong with that system, Joan.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's my solution. Mm. Here's my idea.
Uh-oh.
What would happen, Joan? And I know this is probably just maybe a wacky idea, but it's not. Just bear with me a minute.
You wacky?
What would happen if Iraq, the Iraqi government, said, you know what? We're going to make sure that all of the countries that came to our rescue, including the United States, Poland, England, Italy, Spain, those countries that came to our rescue and put people in this country to give us our country back, we're going to give you oil at, we're going to sell you oil at $65 a barrel. All you want.
Okay.
Now, they've got a lot of oil in Iraq. Iraq may have as much oil as Saudi Arabia. They got a lot of oil. Now, I'm not sure how much they're pumping right now.
Yeah.
But here's my point. What if they just unilaterally said, we're going to pay back a little bit to those guys? What would that do? Talk about collapsing the oil market.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
How about that? Now, what's wrong with that idea, Joan?
I don't know.
We just got to put a little subliminal message inside the heads of the so-called leaders in Iraq, right?
There you go.
But don't you think we got that coming?
I would think so.
That'd be the right thing to do, wouldn't it?
Well, the way you describe it, I guess.
It's simple. It'd be simple. See, I mean, I don't. You know, things don't have to be complicated, Joan.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story. I'm going to shoot an email over to the Prime Minister of Iraq over there, folks, today, and see if I can't get this done. Joan, let's move over and on page two. Let's talk about some business costs. This postage stuff is getting out of hand. My wife is really upset about postage.
I can imagine, yeah.
Because she's talking about having to, all the money we're having to pay for postage, and which
it's
is not
bad
a lot.
For Kiplinger too. It's rough for us too.
Oh yeah, because you guys mail stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't change your contracts in the middle of the DLT either, can you?
Well, the only thing we can do is encourage readers to switch to the online versions of our publications.
Right.
But a lot of people either can't or don't want to do that.
Right, right. Well, I like getting my hard copy.
I know.
I like seeing it on the yellow paper.
Yeah, I've never quite understood that, but yeah. I mean, you can just print out the online version.
So what is this double-digit postage increase? What's that all about?
Well, the overall... May 12th, you know, we're getting another postal hike on May 12th, so, you know, spend those 41-cent stamps now, folks. The new postal hike can't be more than 2.9%, but there are going to be other increases that are going to be higher, so that apparently the Postal Service is going to be trying to push businesses to go to automation.
Right. And if you're not automating, your costs are going to go up even more, probably.
Right, exactly.
So, folks, get ready for that. That's coming out. That's going to happen on May 12th. Your postage is going up. Steel products are going up. Joan, one of the things you guys report this week is about steel, but especially stainless steel, because this is an area where the commodities, the increase in commodities, where inflation is hurting some of the this particular product, especially stainless steel.
Well, I guess say that for users of stainless steel, relief is finally at hand.
Well, the chromium prices are going up, Joan. And are you saying I heard a report the other day that stainless steel was going up. You're saying it's coming down?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at what we wrote here because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It says for users of stainless steel, relief is finally at hand.
Yeah, but steel prices are going up. You'll pay 25% more. Some of you will pay 25% more in April, those of you who use steel. So if you use that in your manufacturing, folks, you might want to try to lock in some contracts. More to come, more business expense information, and other stuff right after these messages. Stay with us. If you please. Welcome back. It's 7 till. A little time is tight there. How about that song? That's a good one. Good instrumental song. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Booker T and the MGs. Also, by the way, I think I forgot to say that. Joan Pride is our guest. That's her on the snare drum in the background. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Right, Joan? You're pretty good on the snare drum.
Oh, yeah. That's me. That's me.
And, folks, I always like telling you about their website, kiplinger.com. That's where you can find everything that they do, including all the publications that they offer, the weekly outstanding flagship letter, the Kiplinger letter that Joan and I work off of every week. And that comes out on Friday, gets you ready for the week ahead. And then
and then
they've got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter.
That's right.
And then there's a magazine.
There sure is. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, what you might have once known as Changing Times.
Now, that's from the Wayback Machine.
That's Joan. Wayback, yeah.
And of course, they've got a phone number, too, Joan. Give it to us.
Oh, absolutely. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And by the way, don't forget to ask for the 30-day free trial when you subscribe to any of their publications. Joan's cell phones, you guys are reporting business expenses again. We're still talking about that. Cell phones are bucking the inflation trend. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, this is interesting. Mobile phone carriers are kind of in war against each other to grab customers, which should mean prices going down. So we're saying that you should be looking for more package deals. You should be able to get, you know, unlimited time, unlimited internet, text messaging, and you should be able to pay about $100 a month for these package deals. And boy, that's true. That would be pretty nice.
And so, Joan, this is the same kind of thing I'm talking about with Iraq and the oil.
Uh-huh.
We need some competition with OPEC.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why we need to be drilling in our own reserves.
That's right.
And start getting our own oil out of the ground, and avoiding this global $105 a barrel oil. We need to figure out a way to do that, Joan.
That's important. Yeah.
The cell phone companies are a good example of what happens when you got competition. Right now, we got no competition.
That's true.
Beer drinkers, Joan, you're pretty excited about this, aren't you? Tell us the news.
Well, my husband is. The news is not good for beer drinkers, we're saying, because we're getting record prices for malting barley. Wow.
Well, don't you? That's what you use when you make beer, isn't it, Joan?
Oh, always. Yeah.
But you guys,
sure.
You guys have a little distillery there in the basement, don't you?
But we also say that the prices aren't going to hit retail for a while, so I don't think you'll notice any big run-ups at this point.
So it's not good news for beer drinkers.
Inflation
is hitting the beer drinkers. How about that? You know, nothing is sacred, folks. Joan, online retailing is picking up. What's the story there?
Boy, going up to $200 billion. That's
wow.
Not bad. We say it's going to go up 16% this year, and then it's going to kind of taper off and grow at a much slower pace. But still, that's you know, it's still going in the right direction, as you would say.
Well, and Joan, you got to attribute some of this to the gas situation.
Oh, I think you should, yeah.
You know, demand is down, right? Gas demand is down in
yes.
the United States.
Yes.
The demand for petroleum is down. It's starting to turn down a little bit. And people are still buying. There's still birthdays and anniversaries and whatever, you know, people are still buying. And it's gotten easier and more efficient. And people have gotten more comfortable with buying online. You know, every day that goes by.
And less worried that their identity is going to be stolen. That the
exactly.
The more successful transactions you do, the more you realize that the transaction is probably safe.
Now, see, I don't buy things. I buy things online sometimes, but I really cluck over them because I don't want to make a mistake. But my wife doesn't worry about stuff like that. I mean, she buys it, and she decides she doesn't like it. I say, what are you going to do? She, I'll send it back.
That's what I do.
See, well, what I know, but see, I don't do that. I kind of don't want like to have to, you know. I try to, so I take a little longer to make my decision.
Of course,
I don't buy as much stuff online as she does.
But, you know, the other reason to buy online, and I'll bet your wife will agree with me on this, is that I get tired of going into stores, particularly book and clothing stores, and not finding the size or the style that I want.
Right.
I can go online, and it's there. I don't have to worry about it. I can just get it.
But what if there was a store, Joan, that when you showed up, they say, oh, hello, Mrs. Pride. Please come in, and thank you for coming back. We have some new stuff, and I think we have something that will just fit you. How would you like
it? Oh, you mean if I lived in Fantasyland? Well, the problem with, I agree with you, customer service is important, and I pay attention to stores that treat me right. However,
yeah.
Sometimes I just don't have the time.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I know that's the truth with a lot of people. And so online, folks, what does this mean to you? This means that if you're a retailer or not, if you don't have an online shopping opportunity and an e-commerce capability on your website, you're missing opportunities. Because, Joan, you didn't tell me I only shop at big companies' websites, did you?
Oh, no, I'll shop anywhere. As long as
you,
I think that the transaction is going to be secure, I don't care.
You're an equal opportunity shopper, aren't you, Joan?
Absolutely. And I'm willing to try out a new site that I haven't used before.
Have plastic will wander the globe, right,
Joan? You bet.
Let's not lose our head here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
16% growth, ladies and gentlemen, in 2008. And, Joan, that's compounding on top of already several years of significant growth
Well, and I think that's why you would sort of have to see the numbers dwindling down, because you were going from zero at one point.
I don't know. Well, Joan, one of the things I'm going to predict, though, start looking for the states to rear the head of Internet sales tax again.
Oh, that's true.
They're already hurting because of the economy. They'll start rearing their heads. Folks, start looking for that. We'll probably be covering that on the show before too long. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. I'm going to ask you for a 3-year contract, and in a year, I want to get that money back. When things are better, mm-hmm. I want to get that money back. Can we do that? Now what you've done is you've become a partner with this guy or this
okay.
person. What do you think?
Okay. So, I mean, in terms of, okay, basically pulling in the belt to share the pain,
yep.
and then in 3 years then say, okay, how are we going to actually share in the wealth again? Is that
but
right?
But you're going to get a contract. You got to get a commitment from this. See, I think that's the key.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, look, I'm sorry. I got to wrap it up. Give us the website one more time.
Okay, pbresults.com.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Cherry.
Pbresults.com.
That's where you find the book, Questions to Sell. See you, Paul, next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour.
Soon.
I'm Jim Blassingame. This program is for you.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This is the Global American Network.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Dick Shannon. Times Square rocked by an early morning explosion.
It happened about 3:45 in the morning, Eastern Time. An explosion in Times Square near the military recruiting station, shattering a window there. Cops say they'll be pouring over surveillance video in the area to get any leads on a possible suspect. But authorities say someone may have thrown an explosive device and fled. Times Square was completely shut down for a few hours this morning, but now is starting to return to normal. Jim Smith, New York.
A new Associated Press analysis finds Barack Obama is maintaining his delegate lead over Hillary Clinton, who picked up a net gain of only 12 delegates. Despite winning Tuesday's primaries in Texas, Ohio, and Rhode Island, there's still 12 more delegates to be awarded, 2 from Ohio and 10 from Texas. Meanwhile, Michigan and Florida showing renewed interest in holding a do-over presidential nominating contest, so their votes will count in the Democratic campaign. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Carl Edwards, NASCAR driver and Claritin user. Driving is serious business, whether you're racing 180 miles per hour like me or just driving around your town. The point is, always be careful. It's risky to drive with an allergy medicine that could cause drowsiness. Before you buy any allergy medicine, read the warnings. If it says may cause drowsiness, consider it carefully or do what I do and get Claritin Clear with the powerful relief of non-drowsy Claritin. Stay alert. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin. Use as directed.
Do you have enough life insurance? If something happens to you, your family needs the financial stability it takes to live in the home and around the people they love. Gil Edwards with Termco Insurance Agency specializes in saving people money on top-quality term life insurance. With Termco, you get a top-rated company and the best coverage at the lowest possible rate. Call for a free, no-obligation quote. 800-757-8902.
800-757-8902.
800-757-8902.
The House votes to require insurance coverage for mental and physical illnesses when policies cover both. Brian Thomas reports.
The vote was cheered by advocates that have been fighting for what they call mental health parity. Supporters say the measure would help end the stigma of mental illness and create greater access for people needing mental health and addiction treatment. Opponents warn the House bill could drive up health care costs and force some employers to drop coverage. The House vote sets the stage for talks with the Senate, which passed a narrower version of the bill with input from business and insurance. The White House says it favors the Senate bill. Brian Thomas, Washington.
And the White House talking about vetoing future spending bills. That after the House Budget Committee early today passed a budget blueprint for fiscal 2009 that calls for increases in domestic programs above the inflation rate. It would let tax cuts expire as scheduled. The Senate Budget Committee plans a vote today on its own plan. Oil prices steady today after a huge run-up yesterday. The price of crude topping out nearly $1.05 a barrel. For the latest news and analysis, log on to irnnews.com.
Hi, I'm Carl Edwards, NASCAR driver and Claritin user. Driving is serious business, whether you're racing 180 miles per hour like me or just driving around your town. The point is, always be careful. It's risky to drive with an allergy medicine that could cause drowsiness. Before you buy any allergy medicine, read the warnings. If it says may cause drowsiness, consider it carefully or do what I do and get Claritin Clear with the powerful relief of non-drowsy Claritin. Stay alert. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin. Use as directed.
The FBI director says protection of civil liberties is one of his top priorities. Robert Mueller expected to be questioned at a Senate oversight hearing about alleged civil rights violations during terror and spy investigations. It's part of American life, accidents, and gridlock, Brian Thomas explains.
A new study for the AAA Auto Club suggests traffic crashes have an even more damaging effect on American society than everyday gridlock. The total cost to American motorists is nothing short of staggering, some $160 billion a year, which translates to more than $1,000 a person, more than double the dollar cost of congestion. Crash cost works out to less than $1,000 per person in large cities, but the burden is much higher in smaller cities. Property damage, lost earnings, medical costs, legal fees, and travel delays are among the criteria. Brian Thomas, Washington.
An advocacy group says prescription drug makers jacked up prices last year by amounts 2.5 times the rate of inflation. AARP says prices for most commonly prescribed brand-name medicines rose an average of nearly 7.5%. Russia's UN envoy says Moscow repeatedly warned that Kosovo's declaration of independence could lead to a de facto partitioning of the territory. Russia's ambassador says this is exactly what's happening there. Serbs dominate a large part of Kosovo's north, but they're a minority in the rest of the territory, which is mostly populated by ethnic Albanians. Russia is backing its ally Serbia and refusing to endorse Kosovo's secession. It maintains that Kosovo remains a Serbian province. I'm Dick Shannon.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online.
One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built for small business. By Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And by Aflac. Ask about it at work. And now, the man who teaches big business how to help small business and small business how to compete with the big guys.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for being part of our day. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I think you're going to be glad you did, because we've got Joan Pride coming up in just a few minutes. Yeah, that's right. Joan's back. Joan's been out for a few weeks, but she's back, and she'll be large and in charge, I can promise you, when she comes back. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as you know. And so we're going to be talking about what's going on in the most recent, what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days in their most recent Kiplinger letter. So we'll be doing that, and that's coming up right after the next break. You know, folks, I really want to encourage you to think about what I've been saying about these two economic universes. One is the real universe, where there are challenges and opportunities. And those are the real fundamentals. That's the real price of goods, the real customers who are buying, the real things that are going bump in the night out there for you, and the real good things, the really solid, resilient things about our economy and about your business. That's the real universe. Then there's this other economic universe that you and I dwell in sometimes. We wander over there. We slip through the mirror over into that other dimension, and that's the one that's the 6 inches between our ears. And that's where we get emotional about things, where we listen to the talking heads talking about whether we are or are not in a recession, how long this is going to be, blah blah blah. You know, and even if they're talking about the real situation, because if you hear it so much, you start being negative. You start assuming that it's a lot worse than it actually is. And that's that dimension between your ears. And the only way to fight that is with performance, with work, getting out there and staying in the marketplace. Don't go into your cave. That's the way you counterbalance that other negative part in that dimension. Stay in the real economy. Nine after. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all of my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not just preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC
or
visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. And I know why you're here. I know one of the reasons why you're here at this very moment. And that's because Joan Pride is back. I know you've missed her, and as she has missed us, I can promise you. But she's back. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Jim.
You're all on Twitter, aren't you?
It took a lot of begging to get back on the show, so I'm glad I'm back.
Well, we missed you, Joan. Did you miss us?
Desperately.
Yeah, I know.
Desperately.
It's good to have you back. Hey, Joan, before
Thank
we
you.
Get into the letter, we just need to report quickly on what everybody already knows, and that is, but just to talk about it for a minute or so about what happened in the what were they calling last Tuesday? Not a Super Tuesday, but Super Tuesday 2 or something like that.
Oh, I've heard Crucial Tuesday. I've heard a lot of different monikers for that. Yeah, but it was
but there
pretty
were
crucial.
Four primaries: Vermont, Rhode Island, Texas, and Ohio.
Yes.
And the word was beforehand that if Hillary didn't at least win the two big ones, that basically she was history.
Well, the word beforehand, I thought, was if she didn't win the two big ones by a comfortable, substantial margin, she was history.
Yeah.
And I think that was true in Ohio. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the papers
51-48 or 9 or something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would call that comfortable in Texas.
Well, it's comfortable in terms that, uh-huh. that she it was in terms that any win is comfortable, but it wasn't a thrashing like the 10 points she won in Ohio. And
right.
But here's I think something that's interesting to me about I really think it's appropriate to parse the wins that Obama's gotten and the wins that Hillary's gotten. I mean, she won New York. She won California. Those are big states that you need. Those are red. Those are
blue
states.
Right.
Blue states that she needs to get. She won Ohio, and Ohio is kind of a red state sometimes, and sometimes it's a blue state.
Right,
right. Right. I mean,
definitely a swing state. Yeah.
And yeah, it's a huge. Well, it may be the penultimate swing state because they've been saying for a long time, as Ohio goes, so goes the election.
That's right. That's
so
true,
that's a
yeah.
big deal. And she beat yeah. Obama 10 points in Ohio. So I think that's some. If I were her crowd, her advisors, I'd be shouting that from the rooftops.
That's right.
And so, and she also won Rhode Island. She didn't win Vermont, which,
she was expected to win Rhode Island and to lose Vermont, and she did.
Right, the People's Republic of Vermont. And,
right,
and,
right, exactly.
Just teasing, folks. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. Joan, if I say this to you earlier in the year, but I sure said this. I said this is going to be the year that we live the Chinese curse, which is may you live in interesting times.
Oh, for a journalist, it's heaven. It's wonderful.
Well, yeah.
But,
I mean, think, Joan, I can't remember a time in my life, maybe 68 was the closest. I can't remember a time in my life when the politics has been so rich as it is right now.
I totally agree with you. That's right.
And think about what could happen here. I mean, this thing could go either way. This is like a you know, an extra innings ball game. The next hits could, the next swing of the bat could make things go one way or the other. What if this thing went all the way down to the convention, Joan? How exciting would that be?
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine. But you know, the most exciting thing to me, looking at all of these primaries, is turnout. You know, that was one of the things that Americans have been faulted for, is they don't bother to vote. But we've had record turnout, and these are just primaries. This is not the general election. People have been standing in line. They've been running out of ballots. I guess it says something, unfortunately, about the machinery of our voting. It's not up to par. But the fact that people are excited about this election and want to get out and cast their vote is really important.
Was it you that told me about the American Idol analogy? Would you tell me that? Maybe
no,
somebody else.
No, tell me.
Somebody else told me this week that you know, before you get too excited about the fact that 43 million Americans voted in the primaries and how record that is, just remember 54 million people voted for American Idol.
Wow.
but
how did they vote?
Well, I don't.
They sat home and pushed a button.
Well, that's true.
You know, if you make voting easier, I think you could get 54 million people voting.
Well, is there any doubt in your mind that Hillary is a fighter?
Oh gosh, absolutely.
Regardless
no
of
doubt.
Whether you agree with her politics or not, she is irrepressible, isn't she?
It's true.
It's amazing.
Very true.
And so now here's what I'm predicting, Joan. I'm predicting that the media is going to end their love affair with Obama, and they're going to start scrutinizing him a little bit because he's now been proven to, you know, the omentum, as they called it, has sort of slowed down. I think I'm going to predict that it's going to become even more interesting than it has been.
Wow.
Because I think once the love affair is over with Obama and they start giving, you know, a little bit more scrutiny to him, they finally found some things that maybe they can scrutinize him for. I'm more convinced now that this is going to the convention than ever before.
Well, I don't know how you stop it from going to the convention, because if you look at Pennsylvania as being similar to Ohio,
yep, especially
I'm not
if
sure.
She wins Pennsylvania.
I don't know how she loses Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
When is that? Pardon me? What is what?
When is that? April?
When is that? April 4th, yeah. I think.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a long time till Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to come down to a fight over superdelegates.
Yeah. I'm going to make one more prediction, folks, and I've said this, I think, on the air. I believe that the Clinton machine, they know this is their last hurrah, right? This is the last stand for them. This is the Alamo for them, right?
Right.
And so I believe that they will, if they have to, now remember this, folks, they're capable of doing something so outrageous, so burning all bridges outrageous, that it will either work for them or it will implode on them, one or the other. It'll go one with it. But look for that. There will be a moment when you'll say, wow, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well,
we've
seen it before, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true.
And you know what the truth is? It's worked for them.
Well, it has, yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, folks. This is, if you like politics, this is as good as it gets, isn't it, John?
Boy, I'll say.
Yeah, and especially if you're a journalist, you know, a real professional journalist like Joan Pride is, then you're really having a good time. 10:20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. When we come back, we're going to talk about the economy. What does Kiplinger say about the economy? Really good stuff right after these messages. Stay with us. Come home.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations. From recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues, Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputation in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit ibm.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit aflacsb.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. America.
Welcome back, 23 after. That's the Who. Little Daltrey and the other guys there. Welcome back, 23 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the economy, according to you guys, according to Kiplinger, is going to turn down, but you feel that the downturn will be short. What's the rest of the story?
Well, that's the good news. Do you want me to go into the bad news now?
Yes.
We're saying recovery will take much longer. And we say ill effects will linger till at least 2010. Now, if I remember correctly, we're only in 2008 right now, right?
Yeah. Well, let's dissect that a little bit. The big problem we got right now is, as you know, Joan, is the housing industry. That's one of the big uglies right now is the housing industry. And I do think that one, especially in some areas like where you are right now in Washington, D.C., which is an artificial economy.
That's true.
That where you are, I think, you know, the recovery for the real estate market, D.C. and Florida and California, parts of California, Las Vegas, places like that, those kinds of housing markets, I think, could take to low nine. I think maybe the housing will be one of the last ones to recover. But that's a big sector too, isn't it?
Oh, sure, and as we've always said, has so many reverberations
and so many little tributaries that serve it.
Right.
Furniture, appraisal, fixing up, you know, the repair folks, the remodeling folks, and all the stuff that they're going in, are involved in buying a house and selling a house, all those different aspects of it will take a little longer. So that'll be a big, but I do think that in general, and I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be short. I think the recovery is going to take a little bit longer. But you know what, Joan? I actually don't think that's a bad thing. If we can just get this economy kind of turned the other way, just enough where we can quit talking about the negatives. You know what I mean? We need to have some good news. I really believe that if sometime later in the year, maybe third quarter, we start getting some good news. Maybe the oil prices come down or something happens where we can start having positive talk instead of negative talk. We got a lot of negative talk right now, Joan.
Oh, that's true.
And I've been pointing out, Joan, that we're operating right now in two different economic universes. One of them is the real universe, where we have good things and bad things to counterbalance each other in
right.
the economy. And then the other universe is the one, the 6 inches between our ears, where we play out this recession, no recession thing in our head. And that's the one that if we spend too much time in that universe, Joan, that's bad news.
That's right.
So I'm hoping we can start getting some good news, but Joan, there is one thing that you guys are pointing out this time that is one of the things that is, as you call it, the wolf at the door. Tell the audience what it is.
Well, we're saying inflation is the wolf at the door, but I would say it could be even worse than that. I think it could be stagflation.
But see, Joan, you love that word. You say that.
I do because I grew up with it.
It's almost like you.
That was.
Joan, it's almost like you're wishing for stagflation.
That was the way life was. No,
so you can be right.
Yeah. Well. Of course. Yeah. That's true.
Well, tell the audience what stagflation is.
Well, under normal circumstances, if you have inflation, that means you have a growing and possibly overheating economy. Whereas, if you have stagnation, prices are depressed. But back in the 70s, we had this crazy confluence where you had inflation plus rising interest rates plus a slowing economy, and it was sort of, it's very hard to get out of such a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you ended up doing it was the Federal Reserve under, I guess it was Paul Volcker at the time, kept pounding away at interest rates and driving interest rates up to the point where it finally choked off inflation but just really messed up the economy at the same time.
It was really in the early 80s, Joan, when it got the worst, because what you had the economy was off. We had inflation in 01 and 03, back to back there, two different ones with just a slight upturn in the middle. And you had interest rates were, you know, prime rate was like, what was it, like 19% or 21% or something? Something ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was absurd.
Right.
And then you had inflation and you had the economy that was off. So that's how you got the stagflation. Now, Joan, think about this. To your point, we are clearly seeing inflationary trends where the interest rates are going down to try to recover from that. If the economy does pick up a little bit, and you guys talk about this in your letter, you point out, don't you, that tell the audience what you think the Fed will start doing when the economy picks up a little bit.
Well, when the economy starts to pick up a little bit, we think the Fed is going to reverse course and start raising interest rates again.
Which is
what we need, right?
Well, and hopefully to try to put off to stem the inflation thing. But Joan, a lot of the inflation that we've got right now is because of oil, the high price of oil.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to point out, was a lot of our economic problems back in the 70s and 80s were kind of spawned by the oil crisis back then.
Right.
Now, of course, we also had a demand problem back then. You remember the long lines
mm-hmm.
and the alternate days when you could go to the gas station, things like that. We don't have that now, but we still have problems in that area.
Well, exactly. But one of the things is you know, we consume less petroleum per dollar of GDP today than we did 30 years ago, and that's really helping us out right now. The efficiency of the market with regard to petroleum has really improved, and that's helping us out right now. Quick break, right back with more to come after these messages with Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blessing.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes,
giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Mingola, accounting manager of Group 1201 here in Georgia, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for Small Business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay, well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blassingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, one of the things that, you know, as you know, there are two kinds of inflation indicators. One is the core inflation, which does not include energy and food, which is kind of a silly indicator because food and energy is where the is where a lot of the inflation is right now.
Then that's
there's
true.
Then there's the other indicator, and I've forgotten what the, what it's called, but it includes energy and food.
Right.
But we got petroleum closing above $105. Not closing, but it's reaching over $105.
Yep. Setting records every day.
And Joan, so much of that is on speculation because of the challenges in the Middle East. We got Chavez putting tanks on the Colombian border. Good for President Bush for defending the democracy of Colombia down there against Chavez. You know, there's something wrong with the system, Joan, where every time a cretin like Chavez can rattle a saber, and that gets the speculators excited, and it makes our oil prices go up, which puts more money in his pocket. There's something wrong with that system, Joan.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, here's my solution. Mm. Here's my idea.
Uh-oh.
What would happen, Joan? And I know this is probably just maybe a wacky idea, but it's not. Just bear with me a minute.
You wacky?
What would happen if Iraq, the Iraqi government, said, you know what? We're going to make sure that all of the countries that came to our rescue, including the United States, Poland, England, Italy, Spain, those countries that came to our rescue and put people in this in our country to give us our country back, we're going to give you oil at, we're going to sell you oil at $65 a barrel. All you want.
Okay.
Now, they've got a lot of oil in Iraq. Iraq may have as much oil as Saudi Arabia. They got a lot of oil. Now, I'm not sure how much they're pumping right now.
Yeah.
But here's my point. What if they just unilaterally said, we're going to pay back a little bit to those guys? What would that do? Talk about collapsing the oil market.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
How about that? Now, what's wrong with that idea, Joan?
I don't know.
We just got to put a little subliminal message inside the heads of the so-called leaders in Iraq, right?
There you go.
But don't you think we got that coming?
I would think so.
That'd be the right thing to do, wouldn't it?
Well, the way you describe it, I guess.
It's simple. It'd be simple. See, I mean, I don't. You know, things don't have to be complicated, Joan.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story. I'm going to shoot an email over to the Prime Minister of Iraq over there, folks, today, and see if I can get this done. Joan, let's move over and on page two. Let's talk about some business costs. This postage stuff is getting out of hand. My wife is really upset about postage.
I can imagine, yeah.
Because she's talking about having all the money we're having to pay for postage, and which
it's
is not
bad
a lot.
For Kiplinger too. It's rough for us too.
Oh yeah, because you guys mail stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't change your contracts in the middle of the DLT either, can you?
Well, the only thing we can do is encourage readers to switch to the online versions of our publications.
Right.
But a lot of people either can't or don't want to do that.
Right, right. Well, I like getting my hard copy.
I know.
I like seeing it on the yellow paper.
Yeah, I've never quite understood that, but yeah. I mean, you can just print out the online version.
So what is this double-digit postage increase? What's that all about?
Well, the overall May 12th, you know, we're getting another postal hike on May 12th, so, you know, spend those 41-cent stamps now, folks. The new postal hike can't be more than 2.9%, but there are going to be other increases that are going to be higher, so that apparently the Postal Service is going to be trying to push businesses to go to automation.
Right. And if you're not automating, your costs are going to go up even more, probably.
Right, exactly.
So, folks, get ready for that. That's coming out. That's going to happen on May 12th. Your postage is going up. Steel products are going up. Joan, one of the things you guys report this week is about steel, but especially stainless steel, because this is an area where the increase in commodities, where inflation is hurting some of this particular product, especially stainless steel.
Well, we also say that for users of stainless steel, relief is finally at hand.
Well, the chromium prices are going up, Joan. And are you saying I heard a report the other day that stainless steel was going up. You're saying it's coming down?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at what we wrote here because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It says for users of stainless steel, relief is finally at hand.
Yeah, but steel prices are going up. You'll pay 25% more Some of you will pay 25% more in April, those of you who use steel. So if you use that in your manufacturing, folks, you might want to try to lock in some contracts. More to come, more business expense information, and other stuff right after these messages. Stay with us. If you please.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Mingola, accounting manager of Group 1201 here in Georgia. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations. From recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues, Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit Administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. A little time is tight there. How about that song? That's a good one. Good instrumental song. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Booker T and the MGs. Also, by the way, I think I forgot to say that. Joan Pride is our guest. That's her on the snare drum in the background. She's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Right, Joan? You're pretty good on the snare drum.
Oh, yeah. That's me. That's me.
And, folks, I always like telling you about their website, kiplinger.com. That's where you can find everything that they do, including all the publications that they offer, the weekly outstanding flagship letter, the Kiplinger letter that Joan and I work off of every week. And that comes out on Friday, gets you ready for the week ahead. And then and then they've got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter.
That's right.
And then there's a magazine.
There sure is. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, what you might have once known as Changing Times.
Now, you're going, that's the way back. That's from the Wayback Machine.
That's Joan. Way back, yeah.
And of course, they've got a phone number, too, Joan. Give it to us.
Oh, absolutely. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And by the way, don't forget to ask for the 30-day free trial when you subscribe to any of their publications. Joan, cell phones. You guys are reporting business expenses again. We're still talking about that. Cell phones are bucking the inflation trend. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, this is interesting. mobile phone carriers are kind of in, or I guess, in war against each other to grab customers, which should mean prices going down. So we're saying that you should be looking for more package deals. You should be able to get, you know, unlimited time, unlimited internet, text messaging, and you should be able to pay about $100 a month for these package deals. And boy, if that's true, that would be pretty nice.
And so, Joan, what? Now, see, this is the same kind of thing I'm talking about with Iraq and the oil.
Uh-huh.
We need some competition with OPEC.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why we need to be drilling in our own reserves.
That's right.
And start getting our own oil out of the ground, and avoiding this global $105 a barrel oil. We need to figure out a way to do that, Joan.
That's important. Yeah.
The cell phone companies are a good example of what happens when you got competition. Right now, we got no competition.
That's true.
Beer drinkers, Joan, you're pretty excited about this, aren't you? Tell us the news.
Well, my husband is. The news is not good for beer drinkers, we're saying, because we're getting record prices for malting barley. Wow.
Well, don't you? That's what you use when you make beer, isn't it, Joan?
Oh, always. Yeah.
But you guys,
sure.
You guys have a little distillery there in the basement, don't you?
But we also say that the prices aren't going to hit retail for a while, so I don't think you'll notice any big run-ups at this point.
So it's not good news for beer drinkers.
It's,
inflation
it's not
is
good,
hitting
right.
the beer drinkers. How
right.
about that? You know, it's nothing is sacred, folks.
Joan,
online retailing is picking up. What's the story there?
Boy, going up to $200 billion. That's
wow.
not bad. We say it's going to go up 16% this year, and then it's going to kind of taper off and grow at a much slower pace. But still, that's you know, it's still going in the right direction, as you would say.
Well, and Joan, you got to attribute some of this to the gas situation.
Oh, I think you should, yeah.
You know demand is down, right? Gas demand is down in
yes.
the United States.
Yes.
The demand for petroleum is down, starting to turn down a little bit. And people are still buying. There's still birthdays and anniversaries and whatever. You know, people are still buying. And it's gotten easier and more efficient. And people have gotten more comfortable with buying online, Joe. Every day
and
that goes by.
And less worried that their identity is going to be stolen. That
exactly.
The more successful transactions you do, the more you realize that the transaction is probably safe.
Now, see, I don't buy things. I buy things online sometimes, but I really cluck over them because I don't want to make a mistake. But my wife doesn't worry about stuff like that. I mean, she buys it, and if she decides she doesn't like it, I say, what are you going to do? I'll send it back.
That's what I do.
See, well, I know, but see, I don't do that. I kind of don't want like to have to, you know. I just want to. So I take a little longer to make my decision
because I
don't. Of course, I don't buy as much stuff online as she does.
But you know, the other reason to buy online, and I'll bet your wife will agree with me on this, is that I get tired of going into stores, particularly book and clothing stores, and not finding the size or the style that I want.
Right.
I can go online, and it's there. I don't have to worry about it. I can just get it.
But what if there was a store, Joan, that when you showed up, they say, oh, hello, Mrs. Pride. Please come in, and thank you for coming back. We have some new stuff. And I think we have something that will just fit you. How would you like
it? Oh, you mean if I lived in Fantasyland? Well, the problem with – I agree with you. Customer service is important, and I pay attention to stores that treat me right. However,
yeah.
Sometimes I just don't have the time.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I know that's the truth with a lot of people. And so online – folks, what does this mean to you? This means that if you're a retailer or not – if you don't have an online shopping opportunity and an e-commerce capability on your website, you're missing opportunities. Because, Joan, you didn't tell me I only shop at big companies' websites, did you?
Oh, no, I'll shop anywhere. As long as I think that the transaction is going to be secure, I don't care.
You're an equal opportunity shopper,
oh,
aren't
yeah.
you, Joan?
Absolutely. And I'm willing to try out a new site that I haven't used before.
Have plastic will wander the globe, right,
Joan? You bet.
Let's not lose our head here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
16% growth, ladies and gentlemen, in 2008. And, Joan, that's compounding on top of already several years of significant growth in
well, and I think that's why you would sort of have to see the numbers dwindling down? Because you were going from zero at one point.
I don't know. Well, Joan, one of the things I'm going to predict, though, start looking for the states to rear the head of internet sales tax again.
Oh, that's true.
This is they're already hurting because of the economy. They'll start rearing their heads. Folks, start looking for that. We'll probably be covering that on the show before too long. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Joan Pryde.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputations in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit IBM.com/business center/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Dr. Bob Meyer, owner of the Neuse River Veterinary Hospital here in North Carolina, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing my business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus.
There was no use talking, there was nothing to say. When the band began to play, and we danced like
we're back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage, folks. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us. So check all those out, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Joan Pryde is our guest, folks, and she's with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, let's move over and talk about quickly about the Bush's. Bush's, one of his biggest legacies is going to be the mark he had on the Supreme Court. And you guys say that...
But not just the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, just the whole federal judiciary. He's had 8 years in office almost, and he's given life appointments to 293 judges, many relatively young and conservative. There you go.
And what is one of the distinctions that we know about most of them? They're pro-business.
Oh, yes.
You forgot the most important part, Joan.
Sorry.
Why else would I be
hanging? I've been
home
for a few weeks, you know.
You're going to have to pick up the pace here, Joan. You've lost a step here on me.
Apparently.
They're pro-business judiciary. I love that.
I know. You should.
And if you look at the Supreme Court, Joan, the younger guys on the Supreme Court are pro-business.
That's right.
The older people, the ones who are more likely to retire in the next administration, are not pro-business. So we you know, us pro-business guys are probably not going to lose that much.
John Paul Stevens is 87.
He's now, 110.
My mom is 87. I don't see how she could be a Supreme Court
justice.
He's
110. and God bless Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, she's not that old, but she's not been well.
That's true. I think she's well now, but she has been sick.
I hope she is well. I mean, you know, whether I agree with her or not, you know, she's a great servant to the United States. But you know, she looks like you could blow her over with a breath, you know.
That's true.
So that's going to be interesting to see. And that's one of the big issues, Joan, in the coming election. Is one of the big marks, one of the big discussions and debates that's going to be had with both parties is who is better able to stock up the judiciary, the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be one of the sticks in the ground that people are going to be dealing with. Joan, I want to move down and talk about at the very bottom of page 3 there on the IRS with the misclassifying workers. They're coming after firms that misclassify workers as contractors. Talk to us about that.
Well, I just want to make the point to your readers, your listeners. They're getting smarter as to find companies that are misclassifying. Now they're finding companies. Now listen to this, that issue 1099s to, if you're issuing a 1099 to five or more workers for at least $25,000 and the IRS can figure out they have no other income, then it's very likely that these people really should be classified as employees and the IRS is coming after you.
Well, see, I think you're using too kind a word there when you say misclassify.
Sorry.
Misclassify sounds like somebody made a mistake. The IRS is looking for people who are incorrectly, they're improperly, they're intentionally making people become contractors instead of employees and
small
business
owners. Well,
they could
be honestly making a mistake. The IRS doesn't care. They just want them reclassified.
It's possible, but I'm telling you, folks, small business owners are the people they're really looking for.
Oh yeah.
The ones that they're looking for are small business owners. So folks that are listening to the show, make sure that if you've got somebody that you consider to be an independent contractor, you're giving them 1099 income, then if they're not working for anybody else, if they don't have their own business where they're consulting with you or whatever, and they're not working for at least one or two other people, then you're probably going to get a visit from the IRS. You need to rectify this right away.
Be real careful.
They're ill about this, the IRS is, so they're going to do something about it. Let's move over and talk about this registered traveler thing. Tell us about that.
Well, the registered traveler thing, we say this is the year to consider getting into that. This would let you get through lines and airports faster because you will be pre-registered with the government and pre-screened and pre-cleared. And we say that about 25 airports are going to be participating by the end of the year.
You know, Joan, I'm so sick of hearing about this.
Really?
Well, you've been telling me that we were going to get this for 3 or 4 years now.
I know.
I'm ready to sign up. Where do I go?
Right.
Look, I hate having all this security business. I mean, it's necessary. I'm sure it's necessary, but still, I'm ready to become a registered traveler. How much does it cost? Will you take a check?
Right, exactly.
But I fly into D.C. a fair amount during the year. So, we keep talking about this, but nobody ever does anything about it.
I know. You're right.
So let's don't talk about this anymore until you can tell me where I can register.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. It's good to have you back.
Can I come back?
You can come back. We appreciate
it.
Okay. And, of course, we didn't stop your checks. We kept those going, right?
Thank goodness.
Thanks, Joan. See you next time.
Thank you. Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, in her 10th year with us, by the way. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.